Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by SonicWeb Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. He's backed by a popular man, singer, songwriter from Star Prairie, Wisconsin, and 50 miles northeast of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and formed the Star Prairie Project as a collaboration with local musicians and worldwide to write, record, and bring songs to life, going from local to LA, to London and beyond. And we talked about previously with New Day at Dawn, with Americana, and the concept behind the album and the history of it, along with Old Dirt Road. And this new release is a concept album, which is dealing with the mysteries of antediluvian secret priesthood. And what it is, it's known as the Shining Ones. We'll talk more about that. Contain mystery, adventure, and new perceptions of reality of the world. And of course, a new single is A Trip to the Dark Side of the Moon. We're not talking Pink Floyd. It is the Shining Ones featuring Mai Kundalini. Live, ladies and gentlemen, of Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Star Prairie, Wisconsin. Just having a starry night over there, over by the lakes or something. Singer-songwriter from Star Prairie, Wisconsin, and founder of the Star Prairie Project. Back once again by popular demand with an update, ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented Nolan Chu. Nolan, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, thank you, Mike. My pleasure.
Well, it's great to have you back as well, too. So we talked last year, a singer-songwriter from Star Prairie, Wisconsin, 50 miles northeast of the Twin Cities, and you formed the Star Prairie Project as a collaboration with local, nationwide, and worldwide musicians, write, record, bring songs to life, and we talked about New Day at Dawn, Old Dirt Road, and you have a new release, which is a concept album dealing with the mysteries of the Antediluvian, which is a secret priesthood known as the Shining Ones. We'll be talking about Mai Kundalini, what's that about? And before getting to your new release, Nolan, once again, very quickly, how'd you get started?
Sort of a late bloomer in the music business. I didn't pick up a guitar till I was 51. I had a career in the Air Force for 25 years before I retired as a lieutenant colonel. And I bought a used guitar at a pawn shop, and I learned how to play it. And I started going to some jams in the local area, writing my own songs and playing them. And what I decided was I wanted to record. The singer-songwriter aspect of what I was doing was fun, but what resonated was I wanted to record. Mm-hmm. And there was some people at the Star Prairie Jam in a little village right where I live, about 3 miles away, that did a jam on Thursday nights, and a couple of the guys had some studio facilities in their home. And so I started in the guy's basement where we were doing the songs ourselves and using singers and session musicians from the Star Prairie Jam to come and fill it in. And after creating a couple of albums, I decided that I was going to try to take it to another level, a professional level, where I would try to make major record label songs and release them worldwide through the streaming platforms. And so in 2019, I set out on my own to search out for people to work with me in the project. And over a period of a couple years, I met members that are now of the project: Rudiker out of LA, Ivy Marie out of Kentucky, Marcelo Vieira out of Portugal, with Ricardo Dick and his girlfriend end up forming the nucleus of the project. And we started recording albums in 2019. Our first album was Panacea.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up getting a million streams. And seven albums later, we're doing a more ambitious adventure with this concept album. Seven albums, 12 million streams on Spotify. Our project's grown from three or four members to seven of us now.
Oh, wow.
And we've been working together for a while now. So we've sort of divided the thing up into two groups. One, the American team of Rudiker and Ivy Marie, and we're doing pop song, indie pop and Americana. And that's what the last album was that I came on to talk about, A New Day and Dawn. And then with a group of folks in Portugal, Marcelo Vieira that I was talking about, Ricardo Dick and Sandrine Orsini. And then we added drummer Mauro Ramos. And it's a completely different vibe. It's a harder rock, retro rock, classic rock of a and so we've sort of switched off between Americana pop music and the harder, more progressive music. And it's just exciting. It's growing our best work. And then on top of it, things just happen, like working with Tom Titka. And I know you know Tom. He's been on your show
very
times.
Well. I've had on my show quite a few times. Very
and
amazing.
Interesting, just interesting character. And we were both working with Phil G out of Minds Behind the Music for a couple years. And we went over to One Media together. We signed with One Media last year. So we started talking. We started writing songs together. And we wrote a couple of singles, two songs back to back, you know, really quickly. It just went boom, boom. It was one of those serendipities where it was, yeah, we should do that sometime. And then like an hour later, he sends me a 30-second music clip.
Oh, my goodness.
And I listened to it. And I went, oh, that's really good. And then I write out the lyrics for verses 2, 3, and 4 and the middle 8, send it back to him. And a day later, we have this single that's out now. And it's just out of this world, crazy sound, unlike anything that we'd ever produced. California Smile, Americana. It's vintage retro West Coast sound, like something out of Jan and Dean, Beach Boys, or early that West Coast. And it's just, and so then we wrote another one right behind it called Starting Over With You. That's more of a classic 50s type of Hank Williams type ballad. And so we're, you know, I'm putting together this release for the Shining Ones, and it is like, it gives you whiplash. The styles of the music are so different. but yet it's all excellent music. So, you know, Tom and I are laughing. He's got a new album out. I got this new one coming out. We're working on our own material. We're halfway through another album. So it gets, it's crazy to try to keep it all straight sometime, but that's a good problem to have.
Well, that's interesting. You talk about the album as well, too. The Mysteries of the Antediluvian Secret Priesthood and the Shining Ones. We'll talk more about that with Nolan Chu of the Star Priory Project. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SonicWeb Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Looking for a professional website without breaking your budget? SonicWeb Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support@sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warming author, Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those you love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia has garnered great reviews. An evil love and endorsed by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forge Riley, Eminem. So grab your copy today for It Goes Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Apple Music, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and more. Take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MeAndWilsonZia for great books, great gifts like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles, plus T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MeAndWilsonZia. Check it out today and support The Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We have the amazing singer, songwriter, multi-talented from the Star Prairie Project, 50 miles northeast of the Twin Cities on The Mike Wagner Show, Nolan Chu, the founder of it. And before we get back to The Shiny Ones featuring Mike Kudalin, will play a song at the end of the audio interview on The Mike Wagner Show. We encourage everybody to check it out. Of course, we talked about Old Dirt Road and New Day at Dawn. And how are those albums coming, by the way? What's the update on them?
That one's been out like 6 months now, and it's just about to touch 2 million streams. It's like 1.87 million. So very well received. And that album broke through on some Spotify editorial playlists.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Anybody that knows the streaming business, if you can get hooked up on those editorial playlists that have, some of them have 3.5, 4.5 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
It opens some doors. It's like the old charts or top 40. Mm-hmm.
Top of the pops, pop charts and all that. Top of the pops.
And so it really gets your numbers, go crazy, and the opportunity for exposure and just the depth and breadth of the expansion of the audience is really exciting. And you know, that's one of the things that's real, you know, real credibility. You know, obviously people that do what I do or work in the digital streaming music age, you know, realize that the money, we don't do it for the money.
Right.
and so it's good to be rewarded by having the music recognized. And I know it's funny. On Facebook, I saw an artist complaining about algorithms and how algorithms taking all the originality away and algorithms picking this and they can't find the real talent in the songs. And I said, yeah, I used to think the same thing. I hated algorithms until I got picked up on 6 editorials playlists on Spotify. And then it was like, yeah, algorithms. I love algorithms.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's just like, you know, Weird Al Yankovic setting, or like 2 million streams or 10 million streams, whatever it is, and getting like $10. You know, thank you all for helping me get a sandwich or something. You know, he's kind of a little humor in that too. So, you know. You know, you get a sandwich guaranteed and maybe more, steak dinner, everything like that. And of course, with the new release being a conceptual album, Mysteries of the Antediluvian Secret Priesthood. And what is that? You know, tell us more about that. I mean, that's a mystery itself, Nolan.
And yeah, it's so mysterious, it's hard to describe. And it's really hard to describe the album and the concept metaphysically in under an hour. And going down so many wormholes, but the whole album itself was really it was born from a series of synchronicities. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're aware of what that term means, where you have these coincidences that appear and then they happen
or combining together, just like, and you start following something.
And so I had that term, the Shining Ones, had come up several times within a week, in a book, a television program, YouTube video. And so when that happens, I call it a hit. I got a hit, and you get 3 or 4 hits on that. And it's like, okay, what is the Shining Ones thing? And so, in this age of ancient aliens and other history, Skinwalker Ranch and those type of pseudoscience program. There's a lot of interest in ancient times and the way that our history and prehistory has been taught to us and told to us. But Phil G, who was with who's the owner of the minds behind the business label, I asked him about this term "shining ones," and he said, I just happened to have written a book about that, and I went, really? What? And so I read his book, and it really ended up, and Phil said to me, music is gnosis. You know that and that term gnosis, wisdom from the Gnostic Eastern side of Christianity, was something that resonated. And I said, I should write an album about that. And I had done a concept album, two albums before with the group from Portugal called Fight or Flight. Mm-hmm. And that was really about the changes in culture and society in the world and how everything has been ratcheted up to this frenzy. And, but I had never done a concept album from scratch where the idea of the concept wasn't etched in my mind. I had to study it. And I literally started studying it on Wikipedia and Googling it and then reading books and talking to different people, YouTube videos, and then my own knowledge. But I ended up going back to the original source documents from the very beginning, because as I was introduced to the Shining Ones and this idea of who they were, I didn't want in my mind to have something new, postmodern, new agey. I wanted to go back because I sensed that this was new and old and ancient. And so I started with the Bible and Genesis 6 and the Nephilim and the fallen angels, because they're all connected to this. Mm-hmm. And then led me to the book of Enoch, the first book of Enoch, the Watchers. And then I procured the book of Jasher, the books of Adam and Eve, and the book of Jubilees, which are the non-biblical but pseudo-biblical texts that were written at the age. Mm-hmm. But essentially, what the story of the Shining Ones is about a group of people. They were called gods, not God like our God. Yahweh is a single monotheistic God, but gods in the sense of human-like entities who had special gifts.
Like the Roman and Greek gods, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like the Roman and Greek gods?
Yes, exactly. As a matter of fact, when you trace the Shining Ones, they start in Sumeria and they go all through the pantheons. And they're essentially the same gods. And that's interesting as well. But these people emerged in the beginning of our history, about 8,000 BC, when Sumeria was first settled in high civilization. And around that time, also, the Shining Ones were appearing in Egypt. And individuals called the Shining Ones or the Watchers or the Lookers in the Indus Valley.
Or the Watchmen be considered as well, like Watchmen?
Yes. Yes. And also in Mesoamerican, Huatecozo, China, Japan, about this same period. And as science is now, we've had time over the years to find historical evidence of these people. For example, in many of the biblical cities that are mentioned in the Bible, I think almost all of them except for one have been discovered. There was a time early in my life where I was told these were myth and these cities didn't exist. Well, in the last 100 years, we've pretty much disproven that. For example, the city of Nineveh, which is familiar to people, to Christians or Jews or the people that know the Bible. Under the city of Nineveh was a library where they found 20,000 cuneiform clay tablets. Wow. That they were able to that they were able to translate. They were essentially clay pressed with a stylus that hardened. Mm-hmm. And of these tablets, they gave creation stories and epics, such as the Epic of Gilgamesh and the Enuma Elish, which is their creation story, where they talked about these shining ones. They called them Anunnaki, is what those people were called. And the Anunnaki were those who came from the stars down to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes that at about 8,000 BC, as we were moving away from cavemen into the Neolithic period, our high civilization sprang up. And this was a period in time after a big cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
And we know as a flood. And our biblical flood was also in the Book of Gilgamesh, which is the oldest story written down on those clay tablets. Talked about the flood. And it talked about the destroying of Earth on civilizations that existed on the And in the past, people that are interested in that would be familiar with Mu, Lemuria, Atlantis is the most famous. Plato wrote about Atlantis. Edgar Casey, American prophet, talked about Atlantis. But these first indications of the Shining Ones was like in Egypt with Oannes, the god who came out of the water to teach the people on the shore. Mm-hmm. And they taught them math and science.
Uh-huh.
And the movement of the planets, animal husbandry, textile. And that's why when you see mankind went from cave dweller to living in high civilization in a very, very rapid period of time. And many people, scientists that look at the sociological and cultural advancements of that time said, it seems like we were helped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these stories told, were how these groups of seven with a charismatic leader and a woman sage went to all these different key places on the earth to reestablish the world of the gods that had been destroyed. Mm-hmm. And so what you end up having then is very interesting discussions about the very fabric of what we know about the past.
Mm.
You know, these, and then questions about where'd they come from and where'd they go.
Mm-hmm.
And many people think that they are like aliens. And because in many, many of these disparate places, like the Dogon tribe in Africa,
right,
said they came from the Sirius constellation. And they spoke of the star we call Sirius II that wasn't discovered until 1958. But their cosmology said, when they were asked by the Westerners that they established contact with, where'd you come from? Well, we came from the stars. Our, you know, the people that created us came from the stars, and they came from those stars. And these people were like us, but they weren't us. They were human-like, but not human. Mm. And yeah. they had special skills. And the thing was, if you look at Paracas, Peru, and the Egyptian, some of the Egyptian tombs where they found elongated skulls, they find that these people were tall, 8.5 feet tall, light skin, red hair, blonde hair, blue eyes. And when they found these elongated skulls in Paracas and they did DNA evidence on them, they weren't indigenous to the Andes or mm-hmm. that continent at all. They had come from the area of the Nile and the Mediterranean. And it showed even more evidence of what had existed in time in earliest periods of our time. And it helped, it formed everything. It formed everything from all of our cultural laws, what later became the religious traditions. Because for like Abraham and the Jewish religion, Abraham's father was a high priest at Ur, out mm-hmm. of Sumeria. So that part of history, the Sumerian part of history, grew into the Bible and the characters that we know. And mm. the characters that we know in the Bible, like Nimrod, for example, were also pontificated to have been these shining ones. And so when you look at the characters in the Bible, and then you look at the situation as it developed historically, what you find is a great enigma. Was, first of all, what was the earth like prior to the flood? And who were these people? The creation stories out of Sumeria made it even more interesting when they said in their stories that they had helped create man essentially from using genetic engineering. And they created man to be worker beast, Adam, oilers. So then you see a connection between these people who were gods and human beings. And then the next thing you know is that you have these two humanoid species commingling and replicating. And that's where the Bible comes in with the Nephilim, the watchers, or the sun. The Nephilim were the sons and the daughters of the watchers who had sex with women.
Interesting.
Of man. Okay. And it also leads to all of the conspiracy stories and Da Vinci Code adventures
right.
that consume the bloodlines. Mm-hmm. Because the bloodlines of who these people and the mixed bloodlines between them and humans.
Mm-hmm.
And because in all of the pantheons of the god, between like Hercules, for example, Hercules was a born of a human mother and a god.
Right.
In the story of Gilgamesh, 2100 BC, Gilgamesh was two-thirds god, a third human. When you look at the Sumerian stela, a pillar, a rock pillar, that is called the King's List, it shows three epochs of time in history. One where the world was ruled by essentially aliens, gods from outer space, a middle period where they inbred with humans, to the modern period coming out of Babylon, where the Sumerian culture had died out and been replaced with the Akkadian and then later the Babylonian empires. And that's where the Marduk came from.
Gotcha. Okay.
His father was the Sumerian aspect of the aspect of it. But it's also connected to ascensionism, which is very much connected in evangelical Christianity to the rapture. And
and we're getting close to it just about.
And it's connected to apocalypticism, which is the end of these periods, what we began the conversation about strange times and where things are going.
Right.
And these cycles. And I'll just add this as another tease and then I'll leave it. Is if you look at the world of UFOlogy and aliens and UFO since World War II, since Roswell in 1948, the first big event, up until the congressional hearings that are taking place now, there has been a tremendous change that could involve the Shining Ones or these advanced people, in the sense that when I was in the Air Force, and I actually worked in the basement of the Pentagon, where Project Blue Book was one of my programs. Uh-huh. And of course, Project Blue Book was a PR effort to dissuade the American people that there was nothing there. That's what it was about. Just swamp gas, you know, whatever, you know, just give them a reason.
Right. But it's like a PR piece. You're right, too. And of course,
exactly. But from then, for 50 years, the position of the government was there is nothing. There is nothing there. And if there's nothing there, there's no investigation and you don't need to have an answer because there's nothing there.
And but saving taxpayers' money at the time, so.
Right. And then we were in a different environment with the Cold War and stuff, because if this stuff is flying around over your airspace and it's not yours, then maybe it's the Russians. Mm-hmm. But the thing was after the wall fell, then the Russians and the Americans, people in the UFO business started comparing notes. And we'd say, we thought it was you. And they'd say, well. And it turned out it wasn't any of us. But what happened in the last 5 years was that the government and many governments in the world now are not saying there's nothing there. What they're saying is there's something there, but we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting, because if there's something there and you don't know what it is, but you say it's not a threat. How can you say it's not a threat when you don't know what it is? And the answer up until then was you don't have to answer because it doesn't exist. Well, now you have something that exists, and you have fighter pilots in our most advanced aircraft that are following these things, seeing these things, saying they have some type of a technology that is way, 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 way beyond anything we could dream. Not a little bit. We're not going from Kitty Hawk to an F-22. We're going from the Enterprise spaceship to Kent. I mean, this is huge advances in technology. And one of the issues is if it is something from outer space, or is it something from like another country with Russia or China? But let me ask you this. If Russia's losing a war and they have a super advanced technology weapon with anti-gravity capabilities and 20 times the speed of what we have right now, they'd use it. And so the alternative that then has started to be talked about was, well, maybe it's them. Maybe these people never left. You know, and part of the stories they were seeing with this modern UFO coverage is there's much interest in the submersible UFOs
as
the ones that fly, because they can do both. They can come out of, if they can fly in space, fly in our atmosphere, then go underwater, which was part of the report that was seen with the Tic Tac video that was released that everybody saw.
Mm-hmm.
That sucker just went right underneath the water. So
the radar,
we
yeah,
know
you're
that.
Right. Uh-huh.
So there's inner Earth, and then there's under the Earth. And then, so the question becomes, you know, if this isn't ours, and it's not the Russians, and it's not the Chinese, then who is it? And
I guess that's a question will probably be answered next time as well, too. And of course, you know, you also got the Kundalini's involved as well, too. And what are the Kundalini's? We'll find out in just a minute. Nolan Chu of the Star Prairie Project. You listen to the Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing. We'll be back with Nolan Chu of the Star Prairie Project with the Shining Ones featuring Mike Kundalini after this time. We're back at Nolan Chu of Star Prairie Project, the Mike Wagner Show. We talked about the Shining Ones featuring Mike Kundalini. And tell us more about that song, what inspired to write it. And what is Kundalini, by the way?
It's really, this song is a trip. It's an interesting song because the Kundalini energy, and this is more of an Eastern, people that are familiar with it, it's more of an Eastern type of a belief system. But it talks about the feminine energy that's coiled at the spine. And coincides with the seven energy zones or chakras in the body. And in Eastern religions, they talk about this Kundalini energy being activated. And when the Kundalini, through when a trained individual can condition themselves through prayer, trance, meditation into a certain state of meditation, then the Kundalini energy releases itself and starts running up the spine in a enlightenment experience. Now, I was reading a Bill Gardner's book on it, and he describes a yogi who had this Kundalini awakening accidentally when he was meditating. And that's what the song My Kundalini is about. It's about somebody who's meditating and in prayer, and then all of a sudden the Kundalini energy is activated. And the song is a symphonic musical representative of this highly, very, very rare, energetic. I mean, this event is an energy event that literally lights you on fire like a Roman candle. It is an incredible experience and event that just leaves the person totally shaken, but it blows their mind for perpetuity in terms of a Jesus experience where people claim they see through the eyes of Christ. They see oneness and unitary consciousness. And there's some connection between this and shamanic abilities to travel astrally in the underworlds and through hallucination and psychotropic medicine. And Kundalini is one of those terms that you hear a lot more, and it's becoming more avant-garde and new age, but it's absolutely ancient. It goes back forever. And the connection between enlightenment, awakening, Kundalini is essentially the same thing that a Christian mystic like Eckhart or St. Francis of Assisi experience when St. Francis received the stigmata, that energy bit that he recorded for Claire of Assisi. And so when you start talking about the new age, the new world, and the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, these people who practice this and believe this were believed they could essentially jump dimensions from the third dimension to the fifth dimension and coincide in a world that transcended two dimensions. And they called it love, and they called it a total experience of bliss and ecstasy. And they thought that that was the human purpose of life, to open up this human evolution that essentially took us from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And this new, and if enough people could attain this, and you could have mass ascensions, very similar to what they talked about in the Left Behind books that were written in the
90s. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, my God, you know, there is nothing new. There is nothing old. It's just all, it all comes around. So I wrote these songs using different aspects, and it's so complicated. So I just try to use some keywords, key terms, and let the energy of the music and my Kundalini that you're going to play is a good example. I mean, this song takes you from the first note all the way through the end, wrings you out dry and leaves you exhausted, but yet with a feeling of contentment. And you have a feeling like you're going somewhere you've never been before. And this experience that the Shining Ones proclaimed wasn't a learning experience, very much like the mystic. The experience had to be discovered through living it, not learning something through book knowledge, but experience it directly by this divine union with the Godhead. And very different, but yet very similar belief systems to where we are today.
And certainly a great point as well. Where can we find Mike Kundalini, the Shiny Ones, and all your works at, Nolan?
You can find all of my works on any streaming platform that's out there. It's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, iHeart. It's StarPrairieProject.com website. Catch us at Facebook at SPP Project 2019. But you Google us, we're out there. You know, 7 albums, 12 million streams. We got a hell of a catalog now, almost 100 songs. And it's none of it's alike. And you'll see that with these Shining Ones, the Shining Ones album, too. It's unique in and of itself.
Yes, it certainly does. Once again, we're with Nolan Chu of the Star Priority Project featuring the Shining Ones, and Mike Kundalini will play at the end of the interview on a Mike Wagner show. And a very big thank you for your time, Nolan, as well. Once again, it's great to have you on, and thank you for everything, and looking forward to having you soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back. Once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out your music?
Okay, well, it was great being back on the show. And like I said, just Google Star Prairie Project. We'll be there and give it a listen, and I think you'll be impressed.
We certainly will do that. Once again, Nolan, very big thank you for your time. It's great to have you on again. You're always amazing. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love to have you back. Wish you all the best. Nolan, you definitely have a great future. Have you.
Thank you so much.